Sure is. Happy Thursday. Welcome in here on 104.5 The Zone. We are excited to have you with us for the next 3 hours. My God, what a night in sports. You got Vandy surviving in the most improbable way possible against the Stanford Cardinal. The Eastern Conference Finals in the NBA were absolutely lit. Lucas was all fired up about the Nashville SC game he went to last night. Very dramatic ending in that game. I'm sure we will get a Panzeca MLS update later in the show. We got a loaded show guest-wise. We got all manner of news. You heard in the update that Caden Salter has been dismissed from the University of Tennessee. Trey Wallace of Rocky Top Insider will join us coming up next, and we will get into that at length. Also, Mike Keith, also Ted Wynn of The Athletic. Buddy, what do I need to be here today for?
So many things.
So many things.
It's almost July.
Listen, this is chef's kiss. If we can have this much going on in June, then the rest of the sports calendar, it's a breeze. We're excited to be able to get into all of it over the course of the day with you. 615-737-1045 is how you get involved in the proceedings. 615-737-1045. But we have to start in the obvious place. Them Vandy boys, man. That was unbelievable to watch. So I'm getting ready last night to do the A to Z Sports primetime show that I do not this week because I was off for 3 days, but Sunday to Thursday night, typically at 8 p.m. on the A to Z Sports streaming channels. I do my primetime show. So I'm getting ready for the primetime show. I got a call with my producer for primetime, producer Reed. By the way, does that feel like a relationship that I'm cheating in? That I have multiple producers.
Yeah, maybe
across.
Just don't bring them up around me.
Yeah?
It's better just to live in ignorance.
Is that a sore spot?
Yeah. What I don't know doesn't hurt me.
Who do you think's my favorite?
I feel like you've asked me this before.
Have I?
Who makes more mistakes?
Oh, you.
So, all right, we'll go with Reed.
Yeah, but you got a lot more time to make mistakes. Like, Reed only has to deal with me for maybe,
25 minutes.
Maybe 45 minutes, hour and a half if I'm feeling froggy on the primetime show every night. No, but you 3 hours straight, you have many more opportunities to make mistakes.
But who keeps you on your toes more?
Definitely you. Anyway, let's not get distracted. So, right out of the gate. So, I'm doing the primetime show, and we're putting together the subject matter for the primetime show, and I'm on the phone with producer Reed, and I say, okay, it looks like Vandy's done. They were only down 2-0 at the time, but they were making mental mistakes that are so not like a Vanderbilt baseball team, so not like a Tim Corbin-coached baseball team, so much so that Tim Corbin got a piece of them in the middle of that game to try and breathe life and breathe a little inspiration, a little fire back into that baseball team last night. And it ended up working. But we're doing the primetime show prep at 6:30. And I'm like, okay, Vandy looks dead in the water at this point. It's really disappointing, but let's go ahead and put together the show. So the title of the show last night was The State of Tennessee's Hopes at a College World Series are Fading Fast or something like that. And then by the time I started primetime at 8 p.m., Vandy was down 5-3. There was a home run that started to wake things back up. 5-3 at the time that primetime started during that game. They got the fourth run in the middle of all of that. And I'm looking at that at about 9 o'clock after primetime ends. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll continue to watch Vanderbilt before I switch over to the NBA playoff games. And I thought about watching a little MLB last night, and Nashville SC by that time was already decided, and Lucas and every other Nashville soccer club fan was out naked in the streets with how that game ended. We'll address that later on. But so I'm watching the end of the game, and I'm on the phone with my girlfriend, and I'm paying attention, but I have already decided in my mind that Vanderbilt's probably going to lose that game. So it's basically background noise while I'm on the phone with her. And then, Enrique Bradfield gets the biggest hit of his life, the biggest hit of his career to this point, the biggest hit of Vanderbilt's season, perhaps, to get the equalizing run. And by then, all hell breaks loose. It was to have that game end in a walk-off wild pitch from this dude, Beck, who was out there dealing unhittable until basically the ninth inning at this point. He was mowing them down. For him to foul, because this was the conversation that I had, and I don't want to first take it, right? I don't want to say, you know, did Vandy win or did Stanford lose? Because throughout the course of that game, Carl Ravitch was on the call, and he said earlier in the game, before I got ready to do the primetime show, that's why I made the title what it was. Carl Ravitch on the broadcast said, Stanford's not winning this. Vandy is blowing it. Vandy is outright losing this game. So to watch the end result in as improbable a fashion as any sporting event as I've seen this calendar year, that wild pitch off that pitcher in particular, who I think honestly was just feeling himself too much. I really do. Because they kept going to the camera kept going to him on the telecast after the inning would end. He'd walk off, he'd have, you know, just looking like a machine, looking like the Terminator. And he's clearly gonna be an ace in the pros. Like, this kid's stuff is incredible. Except when he was, at least from my perspective, I don't know this to be so, but he looked like he got a little overconfident, because I'm sure for as much as the television broadcast was hyping him up, I'm sure his teammates, I'm sure the atmosphere, because the Stanford fans in Omaha, they thought they had it in the bag. They absolutely thought they had it in the bag. But here was Enrique Bradfield talking last night about the improbability of their win and why they felt, or why they started to believe, about halfway through that game.
Going to the ninth, we all knew we could do it. We've done some crazy things this year, down in the last inning, two outs. A lot of the runs we score, two out runs. Nobody's on to start the inning. We get to two outs. We get a base runner. Then another base hit follows. So we knew it was always possible. Going through my at-bat, it all went back to, I think, my bat in the seventh inning where I faced Beck the first time. I chased a curveball in the dirt, and I was, of course, frustrated because nobody wants to do that. But I just knew I had to see it pop out of his hand. I was looking for a fastball, and I just saw it and reacted to it.
Enrique Bradfield last night, after getting as consequential hit as any Vanderbilt player has had all season. Clean single to left. That was the game-tying run. The game-winning run, Vandy's first lead of the game, was off this wild pitch from Beck. I've never seen a college baseball game end that way. It was incredibly exciting, and I'm so happy for Vanderbilt fans. Speaking of which, we are efforting a fun Vanderbilt guest tomorrow, and he has just texted me back, Lucas. So I'll address that later. Let me not again get distracted.
Wonderful,
but. So now they're in the double elimination bracket. Obviously, this is the format for the College World Series. Vanderbilt, we all know, has one loss. They will face off against NC State, who has not yet lost a game, and this will be for the trip to the finals, ultimately. That game they will play right as we get off the air. So Blaine and Mickey will keep you updated on that tomorrow, on Friday, when Vandy takes on NC State.
Probably the team with the most momentum in Omaha right now.
Vandy?
No, NC State. Okay. This is the team that knocked off Arkansas and then has won two games emphatically coming into Omaha.
Okay, so you're sticking your face. So you've done the improbable. You have the emotional high of everything that came with winning last night, and now you're preparing to stick your face into the buzzsaw. But this should be no problem. Like, what I watched last night through probably what, five innings, was not Vanderbilt. It wasn't the brand of baseball that I'm accustomed to seeing them play. It was riddled with mistakes. They looked, I struggle to do the criticism of college athletes in particular this way, but they looked like they were mentally weak throughout the start of that game. But to see the way that they finished strong, to see the way that Tim Corbin got them mentally focused again, and then of course it's on the players who are tasked with executing. I don't want to do this thing where, because they had such spectacular success and they were able to come back the way that they did, I don't want to attribute too much of that to the coach, because it's obviously on the players who have to go out there and execute. And then it's on Beck, man, for blowing that. What a terrible, you could not have, it doesn't exist, a worst possible scenario for him to throw a wild pitch in that moment.
So what Ravitch said just got totally flipped on its head.
Totally.
As far as Vanderbilt losing the game, Stanford winning it, complete opposite in the ninth inning.
Well, because I tweeted that out. I said, wow, what an utter collapse by Stanford. And Vandy fans, who I love them to death, but they are so easily triggered by something that they perceive to be a slight. Like, guys, I'm not saying that what Vanderbilt did yesterday in order to get themselves back in the game was not spectacular. But the pitcher for Stanford blew it. I don't think there's any disputing that. But if you want to dispute it, you can. 615-737-1045 is how you get in on the conversation. Tomahawk Chop, Tomahawk Chop 22, excuse me, in the comments on Twitch. And if you want to interact with the show via Twitch, you can, or YouTube or Facebook Live or Twitter, you can do it on Zone TV. You get a notification every time any of the shows, myself, 3HL, J. Martin Ramon, any of them go live. We are with you on Zone TV. You can hang out in the studio with us. But anyway, Tomahawk Chop 22 says, Vandy has surpassed Tennessee as the top collegiate athletic program in the state. UT is now the new Vandy of the SEC without academics to fall back on. My God.
One sport, man.
My God. 615-737-1045 is how you get involved in the conversation. I mean, it is one sport, but this is their sport. There is no disputing that. You can poke fun at the sensitivity that some Vandy fans have on social media, and that's any fan base, right? Like, I don't think that's just specific to Vandy baseball fans. But this is their thing, and if you try to take it from them, they'll come for your neck.
This is their thing, but you got to put more than 10,000 fans in a football stadium before taking that title.
Yeah, I've done those football games. It's among the sad. It's a tough scene. That's 100% correct. 615-737-1045 is how you get involved with the program. Remember, Trey Wallace of Rocky Top Insider, speaking of the Vols, coming up next. Caden Salter, the prized quarterback recruit, just got dismissed this morning from the football program. So we'll get into that momentarily. But first, let's go to Seth in Smithville. He's called in to talk about Vanderbilt. Good morning, Seth.
Good morning, Buck. First off, I just want to say I'm a huge Vanderbilt fan in all sports. I look forward to the spring every year because football and basketball constantly let me down. But this College World Series run is completely different than any of the others that I've either been to or watched on TV. They don't want to quit. They want to win. They want to make it to the championship game. They want to be the defending champion, two-timers. But they have not been hitting the ball like they've been capable of.
Yeah.
Throughout the year, they've been hitting pretty good. It's just they've got timely hitting at the right time in the College World Series to put them at the two wins, but they've got to hit better in Friday's game and hopefully Saturday's game so we can make it to the series finale, I guess, last three games. But I'll hang up, listen what y'all think.
Hey, Seth, I appreciate the call. He's spot on, though. The bats really for the last couple of weeks for Vanderbilt but kind of sluggish, and they did get clutch and timely hitting, whether you want to call it timely, whether you want to call it clutch ability. I don't know how to quantify that, but it came in a time when they needed it the most. But certainly, if you want to point out any fatal flaw outside of just, you know, general discombobulation to start that game yesterday, certainly Vanderbilt's hitting needs to improve. But we will pivot for the moment because Caden Salter, speaking one program, stock up.
Yeah.
there's the Tennessee Vols in football. They continue to do what they do. Caden Salter dismissed from the program this morning. Trey Wallace of Rocky Top Insider will join us next to fill us in on all the details. I'm Buck Rising, and this is 104.5 The Zone. So our next guest, you know, he's on his way back from the College World Series, the Vols defeat, effectively ending Tennessee sports that we will discuss until football mercifully just dropped something in our lap. So Trey Wallace of Rocky Top Insider, probably on his way back from Omaha at this point, probably on a plane when the news of Caden Salter's dismissal from the football program gets dropped, lands at his layover point, opens up his phone to see all hell breaking loose. Am I accurate about that at all, Trey? Is Trey there? All right, I don't hear Trey, which stinks because I did a great wind-up for it. Lucas, see if we can get him back. as we await Trey Wallace of Rocky Top Insider joining us here on 104.5 The Zone. I was really proud of that, and I botched it. It's okay. So, Caden Salter, as we are getting ready to discuss with Trey, has been dismissed from the football program. The University of Tennessee has issued a statement, VolQuest first, with the news. So, the statement from Tennessee, very, very brief. Caden Salter has been dismissed from our football program. We wish Caden and his family all the best in his future endeavors. So the question becomes, is this the right decision? Because we know the situation with Caden Salter prior to his arrest this past weekend for marijuana possession. We know that he had just returned to the team as a result of a spring suspension for basically the same kind of incident outside of, I believe it's Stokely Hall, the infamous now Stokely Hall. But did Tennessee make the right choice in dismissing this young man? Because the entirety of the hype around him, and really almost the entirety of the discussion around him, was whether Tennessee would be able to keep him as a commit after Jeremy Pruitt was fired for cause. So we welcome in, I think this time, our buddy Trey Wallace from Rocky Top Insider. Are you there?
I'm here, buddy. Look, man, my AirPods go out. I just got off the plane from Omaha, Nebraska. I got a cart flying by me right now. It is what it is. It's Tennessee athletics and craziness.
Oh, well, listen, it would be suitable that you should be dealing with craziness in your work life as well as in your journey home, because they can't make anything easy on you. Trey Wallace of Rocky Top Insider here with us on 104.5 The Zone. All right, so let's start in the obvious place. Trey, Caden Salter, his dismissal from the football program this morning. Where were you when you found out about the news, and how are you processing it?
I found out about the news right when the flight attendant said, please turn your cell phone off.
Oh, perfect.
I was like, okay, lovely. I wasn't surprised there, but I talked with some folks yesterday inside the Tennessee football program. This is kind of the direction they were going to have to go. A player that just comes off suspension two and a half weeks ago, and all of a sudden, you know, you get caught. I don't want to get on a marijuana tangent here, but you get caught with weed at 3 o'clock in the morning on the strip with no tail lights and no driver's license.
Yeah.
So you kind of, I hate to say this, not in a mean way, but you have it coming in a situation like that. Like, there's nothing else Tennessee could do for you. You know, Josh Heupel can't stick his neck out for you when you just came off a 3-month suspension for an incident at Stokely Hall. And he can't say, oh, okay, he's going to do better this time. So Tennessee had to move in a different direction. And, you know, I don't blame Josh Heupel. I think it was the right move to make.
Yeah, I feel like they gave him no choice, or that Caden Salter gave Tennessee no choice in this regard. And I am not a proponent of you know, basically, I understand that weed is illegal in the state of Tennessee. I understand that it is illegal in many states across the country. I understand that it is legal in other states as well. And that each state has their own jurisdiction in this regard, until some kind of federal mandate is handled down. And I've largely, especially in terms of all of the different things that athletes can get in trouble for, weed has always been it's a fly around the elephant's tail as far as I'm concerned. Like, it doesn't bother me.
Just do it at the house.
And if you're dumb enough to do it at Stokely Hall, like, put the towel under the door so nobody comes sniffing around, idiot. Like, right. That's my whole thing.
You blow the smoke into the sink. Come on, you know the old trick.
It's just unbelievably menial to me. But in this instance, Trey, I think people, yeah, or certainly Vols fans who are upset about this, are focusing too much on the element of him being dismissed for what amounts to marijuana possession, as opposed to him basically betraying the trust of the football program and the head coach, who is essentially, as you said, already stuck his neck out for him once.
Well, I'm going to throw another one at you. He was also on probation with the Student Conduct Board of the University of Tennessee. He technically violated his probation when he got arrested for these charges. So there was a good chance that he was going to get suspended for a year from the university anyways. if Jeremy Pruitt, Josh Heupel didn't dismiss him from the football program. So, you know, it was almost like, and maybe Josh, you know, knew about this and had no other choice. You know, you're not going to take up room on your roster for a kid that's been suspended. So just there was a lot of things that went into this besides, hey, you know, he got caught with marijuana again, you know, or he got caught up in another incident. A lot more went into this. I think the school had input as well. And now that you go about and we look at it, I think it was the right decision to make. And the quarterback room just got a little smaller.
Not by much. Trey Wallace of Rocky Top Insider here with us.
I know.
on 104.5 The Zone. We're discussing not Trey Wallace's dismissal, Caden Salter's dismissal from the University of Tennessee football program this morning. You can throw Trey a follow at @TreyWallace_. So let's talk about the quarterback room itself, because I don't think, I mean, this doesn't necessarily change things in terms of the pecking order, right, Trey? Like this, he was a fringe candidate to play at all, much less to be able to get his hands on the starting position. How does this affect the dynamic in the quarterback room?
So look, they bring in Joe Milton, which is smart looking back on this now. You've got Hendon Hooker, Harrison Bailey, Brian Maurer. I always personally thought that there would be one that left before fall camp or right after, you know, because you just can't have five quarterbacks in the room and they're all fighting for the same starting spot.
Right.
Like it just doesn't work out like that. You're not getting any reps. Three of those quarterbacks will not get any reps during fall camp. It'll be all on the side. So you look at it now. I think this is a Harrison Bailey, Joe Milton type of battle. When you break it down, yeah, it's good to have Brian Maurer, I guess, you know, a part of the program and helping out as much as possible. Seemed like he's kind of turned things around at Tennessee. But, you know, breaking it down right now, is Hendon Hooker a quarterback that can get involved in this thing? It's going to be interesting to watch because Joe Milton comes in, doesn't go through spring, but pretty much I've been told he's picking up the system. He's got the best arm in the quarterback room, period. So can he translate that onto the field, I think, is going to be the big question. And, look, Tennessee's going to want to figure out who their starting quarterback is 2 weeks in the fall camp. They don't want this thing dragging on. If they got to play two in the first game, okay, play two. But you don't have to worry about them messing around with three or four different quarterbacks.
Trey Wallace here with us on 104.5 The Zone. I mean, to that end, Trey, I'm looking at this situation because Tomahawk Chop 22 has said, just to kind of transition back to the Salter conversation, Tomahawk Chop in the comments on Twitch has said of Salter, he'll end up at UCF. Malzahn loves a quarterback with character issues. I don't think that's necessarily a fair indictment. And I don't think, you know, an 18-year-old getting, I mean, I understand all the circumstances that go into it and the betrayal of trust like we talked about. I don't think that a pot possession charge should be considered a character issue for any young person at this point. But anyway, I digress. The excitement around Caden Salter because of his consistent and persistent commitment to this university, to this football program, despite all of the crap that went on after the season concluded, after the firing of Jeremy Pruitt in January, and yet still Caden Salter reiterated his commitment to the fan base, to the University of Tennessee, because he cares about this football program. How deflating is this result for Vols fans who, it seems the only thing that they want outside of football success on the field is a player who cares as much about their program as they do?
I think, I mean, if we're being honest with each other here, and I guess we'll just do it on live radio, Tennessee fans are just going to have to suck it up. I mean, there's nothing else you can do about it. I mean, you know, you can have a quarterback and be, you know, a player on the roster and be all roo-ha-ha and all that stuff, team matters, all that, everything. And, I understand that it's not lost on me, the Caden story back, you know, the Caden Salter backstory with everything that's gone on in Knoxville with his family and stuff like that, you know, over the last 5 months and him being in town. But when we get down to this, this is a business. It's about to really change July 1st with his name, image, and likeness. You know, universities are going to be smart in how they either A, go after players, B, how they're going to have to market their school. How would you have been able to market Caden Salter over the next year? You couldn't.
Well, you get him a CBD endorsement. That's how you market it.
I figured we were going to go there.
Maybe some Delta 8 for Caden Salter. I don't know.
Getting some of that kratom. No, I completely.
Oh God!
Look, right. I know. So you have to look at it. You have to look at it in those situations. How can the universities do that? They've been trying to figure out a way. I'll give you a perfect example. They've been trying to figure out a way. They're going to come out with a statement, I think, tomorrow or Monday, that Aaron Beasley is returning to the football team. So how does Tennessee handle, you know, Caden Salter being dismissed and then Aaron Beasley being brought back to the football team? That's going to be something interesting to watch when it comes to image in Tennessee football. That's a nice little scoop for you. He had court this morning, and I just got a text message saying that things were dismissed. So, you know, look for him to be coming back potentially to the football team. So now things get interesting as we get a month away from, you know, well, 3 weeks away from media days, a month and a half away, fall camp, getting rolling, stuff like that. And you know, Tennessee's just having to be on their P's and Q's.
Trey Wallace of Rocky Top Insider is here with us on 104.5 The Zone. We're talking Vols football. Speaking of name, image, and likeness, Trey, this from Matt Jones of KY Sports Radio. Breaking: multiple sources tell KSR that Governor Andy Beshear is planning to issue an executive order this afternoon that will require all colleges in Kentucky to allow athletes to make money based on their name, image, and likeness beginning next week. I've been on vacation outside of, you know, I came back yesterday, and just to the joy of the NCAA taking a fat L from the Supreme Court in regards to the inability to compensate athletes with menial sums of money. The real, I guess, conversation or the next step in this is how the states like Tennessee and now apparently like Kentucky, a lot of them in the SEC, Alabama among them as well, how they go about handling this name, image, and likeness situation over the course of the next couple of weeks. What does Tennessee have a strategy regarding this that you are aware of, or is it basically, hey, we're making the rules up as we go on this, we're trying to figure it out the best way we can?
They've got a company involved in how they're proactively going to try to market these players. I don't know if you saw the screenshot that was going around with players this past weekend where they were talking about how, you know, July 1st, marketing opportunities available for us, blah, 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 whatever. So yeah. Tennessee's doing some things off the field when it comes to clothing. I don't know how to put it. Some of the football players are doing some modeling for some clothing. I think they're trying to get ready for what's coming, because it's going to be really simple. And once people start learning about this and really reading, look, you could DM, you know, Brian Maurer or Harrison Bailey and say, Harrison, I would really like for you to come to a football camp that I'm putting on.
Yeah.
Or come speak at a seminar that I'm putting on. You pay him that money. You would come up with some money, $250, whatever. If it's $100,000 you want to pay him, that's cool. But he would then submit that to the company that's working with Tennessee. They would approve it. They handle all of his taxes, and bam, that's how you set up an event with a player. It's going to be as simple as that. Company is going to be flooding these players' DMs, trying to get them to come to their barbecue restaurant, their football camp, their kid's birthday party. It's going to be inundated, and I'm interested to see how Tennessee handles it. I think they have a plan. I think they have the right people in place to handle this, but it's going to be a train wreck at first, and I'm all about watching it.
I absolutely love it. Trey Wallace of Rocky Top Insider here with us on 104.5 The Zone.
So what kind of qualities does a head coach have to manage all that, Trey? Because a lot of the issues that come up with this, where people say jealousy within the locker room, offensive linemen not getting the attention the quarterbacks and wide receivers are, what does a head coach have to be able to manage this properly? And with that, I ask you, do you have any qualms with how Josh Heupel has managed kind of the legal issues he's had to swim through, most of which are no fault of his own, that were kind of presented to him when he arrived?
No, and I think Josh Heupel's done what he's had to do. I think Josh Heupel's relied on other people. You know, Josh Heupel comes into a new situation in Knoxville, let's be honest, not knowing, you know, the ins and outs or who to deal with or who's the guy that you call. you know, during certain situations that Jeremy Pruitt really couldn't figure out in time. I think with the name, image, likeness, you know, they're relying a lot on their assistant coaches to understand this stuff, take classes, take online courses, whatnot. But they're also relying on their compliance department, people that they've hired, new people, the creative department, the company that's going to have a liaison and a representative with the university to kind of walk them through these situations and everything that's going to come about. So they have a staff set up for this stuff. And I think you're going to see Tennessee's creative department get even wilder when it comes to stuff and content that they're putting out that focuses on the student athlete off the field, not so much on the field. So to me, it's going to be very interesting to see how compliance handles this and how the company handles it that's brought in. How much are they working together? And if they do, I think things will go pretty smoothly after the first couple months, but there's going to be chaos to start this thing off, and you just have to hope that Josh Heupel and the people around him are smart enough to be able to navigate through it.
Certainly. It's going to be fascinating to watch, and I honestly can't wait. It's long overdue for these players to be able to get what's theirs in terms of all of this, and we had a good discussion about it yesterday as well. Trey Wallace, my brother, it's always a pleasure to catch up. Thank you for taking some time. I know you're in the middle of your travels. Continued safe travels on your way back to Knoxville, and, you know, Godspeed, because it's almost football season.
But come on, man, don't give me that. I need like 2.5 weeks, but you know what? Something else will happen, and it's all good. I'm actually heading to Nashville right now from Chicago, so I'll wave at you as I fly over. And then something is bound to break on my 2-hour trip back to Knoxville. So another day in the life, boys.
Well, if you want to stop by the studio, you know, just bring a McDonald's bag and maybe, you know, maybe some weed in it from Caden Salter, and we'll have a big time.
I'll just text you Brian Niedermeyer's number.
He is Trey Wallace, you, from Rocky Top Insider. Goodbye. Oh, God. That's pretty good.
That's good stuff.
That's not quite as good as a walk-off wild pitch, but we'll take it. We will come back. If you want reaction to that, you heard it from Trey Wallace himself. He expects Tennessee to announce linebacker Aaron Beasley back with the team tomorrow. I have, he made it through the legal process, so I can't have too many mixed emotions about it. But if you want to react to anything that Trey had to say about the University of Tennessee and whether Caden Salter's dismissal was the right call, 615-737-1045 is how you call us, 615-737-1045. I'm Buck Rising, and this is 104.5 The Zone. Oh, this is devastating to find out in the middle of the radio show. R.I.P. Charlie Murphy. What a fantastic skit. Anyway, we were talking about the University of Tennessee, and if you want to, this is one of the greatest songs ever, says Lebowski in the comments on YouTube. All right, Lebowski, settle down. This I imagine this would be one of the greatest songs ever if you were in some like disco club in the 70s and, you know, doing illicit drugs with Rick James and Charlie Murphy and maybe Eddie Murphy.
Eddie had a whole album, and this was the number one single on that album. Yeah, Rick James produced an album with Eddie Murphy.
So this is going to be a product of our age. Do you think Eddie Murphy's funny?
Oh yeah. But because I grew up watching
you saw like the original stand-ups, is that what you're saying? Cuz like I know Eddie Murphy from, like, you know, hokey family comedy movies.
Yeah, I grew up watching, like, stand-up stuff, Fat Albert, you know, the movies. And then as a kid, I definitely went to watch the movie he did called, what was it, Norbit.
Oh, I think
Norbit
that's...
Norbit in theaters, where he plays, like, 8 characters.
It was terrible, though, because I went by myself to see Norbit, and it was trash. Like that, I think that was the day that I swore off Eddie Murphy.
Oh,
so I'm
man.
Like, what? Who is this person?
His like original stand-up was incredible. Dolomite, I think was the name of the movie. You got to watch that on Netflix. Just came out this year or last year.
Okay,
I'll go watch. It's fantastic.
I'll give him a chance.
Yeah, it's really good.
Let me, local sports talk radio schlub, give one of the greatest comedians of any generation a chance. Dolomite is my name.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, based on Rudy Ray Moore. You got to watch that.
Reggie Johnson on Facebook Live says, come on, Buck. There you go again.
Coming to America, Beverly Hills
Cop. No, Coming to America, I've seen. There's that is unquestionably funny. What they did He and, oh, I'm blanking on the...
Arsenio Hall,
who I saw at Zanies. That was the first show I ever saw at Zanies. It was incredible. But him and Arsenio Hall for this coming two, like the number two, America was just blatantly a cash grab.
Yeah, that's what half the movies out today are anyway.
So we have a couple of things to get to because I just got a fascinating email that we'll address momentarily. But something off the conversation that we were having with Trey Wallace of Rocky Top Insider about the dismissal of Caden Salter, and now as Trey has, you know, I guess basically reported on live radio that he expects Aaron Beasley, linebacker, to rejoin the team. Now, if you are unfamiliar with the situation with Aaron Beasley, he was suspended back in April, I believe, indefinitely suspended for allegedly abusing a kitten. His girlfriend's roommate's kitten. The details on it were horrific, and I let my bias show during the course of that initial reporting, because anybody who would do that to any living thing is a despicable human being. Now, what Trey Wallace has said is that the charges were dropped in the legal process, okay? And RJ in Phoenix has tweeted us, said, glad you caught yourself before you spoke on Beasley's legal case. He beat the case. That's literally how they got the phrase, case closed. Almost told on yourself. Gots to be more careful, like how you tried to clean it up at the end, though. No, I'm not trying to hide anything. I understand that, you know, legally, according to Trey Wallace, Aaron Beasley has been cleared of these charges, okay? But the disdain that you heard in my voice, I'm not hiding that. I don't know this dude. I only know what has been reported of this dude. And if it sounds like I'm trying to, you know, hide how I feel about the situation, no. RJ, you have it spot on. Because you make it through the legal process all the time. You can still have done something absolutely horrific. My initial reaction was to think that Aaron Beasley was a horrific human being for the details of what he was alleged to have done to a small animal. So I'm not hiding anything, RJ. Nobody's catching me on anything. That disdain you hear in my voice, that's very, very real. And that will probably exist every time we talk about Aaron Beasley, regardless of whether he got the case dropped or not. Sorry about you. 615-737-1045 is how you get involved in the proceedings. But elsewhere, Lucas, should we tell people about the email I just got?
Yes.
All right. So I'm going through my email. You know, I'm just trying to keep up with everything that's going on. Going through my email during the commercial break, and I notice an email from my LinkedIn account, something that I never use. Like I said, I can't tell you the last time. Do you have a LinkedIn, by the way?
I do.
Do you like update it regularly?
Very, very rarely.
Okay. So I swear I haven't, that we learned how to make a LinkedIn in a class. Like I was in for college, or maybe it was like my student advisor or something like that taught me how to make a LinkedIn, and that's the last time I've touched
it. In this business, it's generally not that useful.
Fair enough. But in this, if for the purposes of content, LinkedIn coming through. Because I got an email this morning, and I know I've seen a couple people post that they've gotten the same emails that I follow on Instagram. So this is not exclusive to me. But it's the title of the email is Casting for the Bachelorette. Okay, you have my attention. Hi, I'm a casting associate producer for The Bachelorette. I was scouting through LinkedIn and wanted to reach out. Let me know if you have any interest in this or if you would like to nominate someone and we can chat. Thanks. What do we do here? Do I apply?
Either apply or nominate someone.
You can't be nominated. You're in a committed relationship. I can't apply because I am also in a committed relationship.
True.
Who would we nominate? Is there any? Nobody's single on the zone on air staff.
Will
right?
Bowling?
Oh, he didn't count. Sorry, bud.
I would
you
say,
have to be over 18 to apply.
I would say
for the
nominate
match.
You or I just to see what happens. Like, don't go through with it. But I would.
Do you think Megan and Daryl would be understanding of our pursuit of fame and perhaps, you know, many, many Instagram followers?
Well,
and
then we can. They don't listen.
They don't listen to the radio. You know, you're 100%. Our girlfriends do not listen to the radio show. Yeah. So they would never find out unless one of these narcs tells on us, which is, you know, also going to happen
Megan's not on Twitter, so yeah, I think is. I'm good.
Yeah, I'm screwed. You know, not that I have any interest, because it sounds like an absolute mess. Zach Bunch is asking me to speak on Jay Williams. I mean, what's up, Doc? I have no idea what Jay Williams do something today. I don't know. I'll look it up. I'll look it up coming up next. But I have no thoughts at this time on Jay Williams.
Stay tuned.
Talk about a tease. In the meantime, I don't know. I have mixed emotions. Because, listen, the Bachelorette and The Bachelor are ridiculous shows. But they have the ability to be monetized in terms of social media followings in a way that is not quantifiable. In fact, we put this to a poll. We'll get to this later on in the show. I go to a gym of a former Bachelorette contestant that moved to Nashville. He's one of like several that moved to Nashville, opened up a gym, makes a killing. It's packed in there all the time, without question. So if it's a means to an end, because I already have love in my life, like I'm not going on The Bachelorette, in theory, assuming that I would be approved through casting, I'm not going there looking for love. I'm just going there to, you know, utilize the platform because that's what I do. So this is an interesting conversation. Maybe we put it to a poll at Buck Rising on Twitter. Should you and me, because if I'm doing this, you're doing this.
Well, is it not either or? Like, I don't think he's asking you to nominate multiple people. He's saying, do you want to do it or do you want to nominate someone?
Okay.
So should you or me?
Are you hell-bent on doing this?
Yeah, I would like to see what happens.
Okay. Find out next.